Okay. First of all, I want to apologize for how irregular things have been, the classes have been, and will be next week also. I have a simcha next week, Baruch Hashem. And I think things should be quieting down now, and Tom was an Ov in that respect, and it should only be simchas, but I really apologize, because this is actually a time of the week I look forward to every week. So for me it's disappointing. I'm very excited because we're going to start talking about a new tzaddik. When I say the term new tzaddik, I mean in every sense. There was something new about this tzaddik, and some of you haven't heard of him. And those of you that have heard of him probably have some idea from Yerushalayim. You've heard about his followers or his descendants. And you weren't aware that it was a highly original, that he was a highly original reappearance of the fervor of the Baal Shem Tov in modern times, a person who was respected by all schools of Yiddishkeit, whose teachings are extremely inspirational, and you'll see they're very original and very different. We're going to be learning about the Tzaddik Rabbi Arla Roth, who was a Chassidic Rebbe in the 20th century, a Tzaddik whose father was not a Chassidic Rebbe, did not come from any Chassidic dynasty. You probably have heard, many of you, those of you who have been to Yerushalayim know that if you ever want to see a davening with a bren, where there are Jews that are on fire, with Yiddishkeit, so you go to Toldos Aharon, to Shomer Emunim in Yerushalayim. And the man who began all of this was this exceedingly humble, extraordinarily illuminated person, Rav Arla. And the Chassidim called Rav Arla. And I think the best way to begin, normally I would begin talking immediately about the Tzaddik's life, but I decided that to begin with a little bit of a taste, let me just first read to you something before we read together a piece of Rav Arla's Savov, his last will and testament, which is what you have, a part of that is photostated, and that's what you're holding on to. I want to read to you first a statement that I found in the writings of the Biala Rebbe, Rabbi Chilya Yeshua Rabinowitz. This is what he wrote about Rav Arla. Asher hoya lepela be'enei kol roa. That Rav Arla was a wonder in the eyes of all who saw him. Ki af bedor acharon hazeh. That even in this last generation, the end of time. Asher ba'avanoseinu harav niskayim v'abit ve'eno zer. That because of our many sins, we are living in a time where we search for signs of God's presence, we search for some help, and we have difficulty finding it. U'bechemlas Hashem yizbarach al ama Yisrael. And yet, because of Hashem's great love and compassion, because of His love for the Jewish people, leval yidach mimenu nidach, that the Jewish people should not, God forbid, be utterly rejected and lost. V'avur tikunei nishmos Yisrael. And in order to bring about the rectification of the souls of the Jewish people, Sholach lanu chemda genuza, He sent into our world in this last generation before Mashiach a chemda genuza, a hidden treasure, Mishmei Meromim from the highest heavens, Mehaneshomas hagavohos from the most exalted of souls, Lahoyer leveis Yisrael mimachashakim, to shine into the lives of the Jewish people in this dark time. And to awaken, and to draw the Jewish people close to their Father in heaven. And to show them, to direct them, to guide them on the path of righteousness, the path that rises up to Hashem. According to the ways of Chassidus, the teachings of the light of the 7 days of creation, the holy Baal Shem Tov and his students. Now, the reason that I began with that, and then I'll tell you something from the opposite spectrum of Yiddishkeit that was said about Rabbi Arilim, the Chazon Ish. When I said a moment ago that we're going to study a new tzaddik, we've been talking until now, the Meir Shiloach, the Talmud Yaakov Yosef, all great tzaddikim. What was new about Rabbi Arilim was that he came into the world at the end of the 19th century. He was born at the very end of the 19th century, and in the 20th century, a man from a simple background, a self-made tzaddik, who felt that the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov, the true way of the Baal Shem Tov, was becoming institutionalized in yeshivas and batei medrashim, in the courts of tzaddikim, but that the original fire and the original longing for God that was there at the time of the Baal Shem Tov and the early time, the Mezuzah Magid and his students, that was being lost. And Rabbi Arilim came to revive that. And that's what the Biala Rebbe is talking about. That it seems as if, with Rabbi Arilim, it seems as if Hashem left behind one of the neshamas of the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov, that he sent into the world the students of the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezuzah Magid, the Talmid Yaakov Yosef, and the Pinchas Karitzer, and the Hafla, and the Rebbe Melech, and the Chayes of Lublin, and the Jew from Peshischa, and the Bedishiva, and the Balatanya. They were sent into the world, Rabbi Nachman, all the tzaddikim. But like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis, and he left behind for the last generation the sweetest neshama of Rabbi Arilim to bring back the way of the Baal Shem Tov at the end of time, to revive that way of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Akedei kach, that there's a statement from the Chazon Ish. He was once speaking to Rabbi Arilim's son about the Yirat Shamayim of his father. That the Chazon Ish knew Rabbi Arilim very well. And you know that the Chazon Ish was the Gadol Hador. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of all the Rosh Yeshivas, even though he didn't hold an official position in any yeshiva. And the Chazon Ish said to the son of Rabbi Arilim that your father was the Baal Shem Tov Shel Doreinu from Inzer Ador, that your father was the Baal Shem Tov of our generation. And he said, Chazon Ish told the son of Rabbi Arilim that I always studied your father's svarim, your father's books, which is itself extraordinary. I always studied your father's svarim. And when I read the introduction to the Shomer Emunim, which we're going to not study yet tonight, but we're going to begin with it, we're going to begin with that section, the Mova Hashar of the Shomer Emunim. So the Chazon Ish said that I felt that if I would have learned it a little bit more, I would myself have become a chassid. That's what the Chazon Ish said. And you know, and it can do that in the terminology, in the vocabulary of the Chazon Ish, there was no such thing as exaggerations. So the Chazon Ish said, I had to stop. I felt that I would have become a chassid of your father's. Now, I decided, therefore, that instead of beginning immediately with the toldos, with the life of the tzaddik, which will begin probably towards the end, the very end of this hour, and then we'll continue the mitzvah Hashem, not next week, but the following week, I wanted to share with you a small piece of the tzavah, the extraordinary will that was left by Rabbi Arilim. Because since he's not famous among the people nowadays, he's not as well known as some of the other tzaddikim. So I thought that it would be kedai, before we begin to talk about him, to have a little bit of a taste of what he was all about. So if you look at the pages in front of you, this was actually published in the Maimer HaEmuna, in his Maimer on Faith, that is found in his extraordinary Sefer, the Shomer Emunim. It's impossible to describe the kind of love that he was able to show to his followers, the Chassidim. And he lived at that time. He lived through both of the world wars. And he built up communities of Eilech Hayidin, of God-fearing Jews who served Hashem, and to this day serve Hashem with great fervor, in different kehilas in Europe and in Eretz Yisrael. At the bottom of that page, you see where there's an asterisk. Hine v'hine bonai ahuvai. He said, my beloved children. When he said beloved children, he was speaking to all of his followers, not to his own personal children. V'hine bonai ahuvai, my beloved sons. L'harich b'zeh ha'inyin yoch l'har b'in yoris l'farish kol zeh b'aymeh. If I would want to go into detail, all that I have to say would take many, many papers to explain it in depth. U'kvar dibarti mizeh b'li shir. Aval taminu li bonai ahuvai. Believe me, my beloved children. Yididai v'ahuvai, my friends, my beloved. Ki ein odom manchil levonov sheker chas v'shol. That I, as your father, he says to his chassidim, I would never ever give to my children something which I would believe to be false. This is a line that's taken from the writings of the Ramban. The belief that the Jewish people have, that the Torah is true, that was handed down to us by our ancestors, because there's a chazaka that a father would not intentionally deceive a child, God forbid. So Barala says, Ki eino demanchi levon of sheker chasushol. V'chaye roshi, by the life of my head, ki bli shir pa'omim hoya ashenechnasti begodol timtum otum v'sosum mikol tzad. He says, I want you to know that I can't even count the times in my life that I found myself in a situation of timtum, otum v'sosum, where I felt my spiritual energy dulled and I felt myself closed and shut. Mikol tzad, from every side, molei tzaris, filled with tzaris, v'nisyonis, and that I had all kinds of tests and difficulties. V'ez gabrus ha-machshavus b'li shum eitzim yishum tzad, and I couldn't find any way out. I could find no way out of my tzaris, and that I was being tested and tempted, I could find no way out. V'lahoril gam ken yigis, and all of the effort that I put in were of no use. V'hirkanti roishi l'gabi kutshe b'richu. And I leaned my head, I placed my head upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I leaned towards Hashem. She'oira lai midas rachamanusa yisbaruch, that he should awaken his mid of compassion upon me. U'befrat lefamim hizmin li Hashem b'roiv rachamav. And I found that many times Hashem, with his great love, awakened in me. Eze taina toiva v'milin l'tzadi loy l'malo, that he opened in me a way to daven, he gave me a new way to daven. He helped me to begin to speak again. Oz pisom ne'apach l'vobi k'mo rega li'ish acher. And I felt myself in a moment, being in a state of absolute coldness, spiritual paralysis, I felt myself, after crying to Hashem and begging Him to open my heart, I felt myself suddenly being lifted to a new place. V'cholfu v'ovru kol ha-machshavus ha-mavalvalos. And all of those thoughts that were confusing me, they were tearing me away from holiness, they left, and they left in a moment. B'risichus d'mos, b'goyl g'aguun v'shtoykikus g'bro l'gabi imek. And suddenly in a moment I felt hot tears, and I was filled with the longing of a child for its mother. The longing of a child for its mother. V'yispardu kol po'alei oven. And all that which is impure, departed. Kol u yachlofu. U'behezgalus or ziv shchinas kevodi yisbarov, machshavus kedoshes. And those thoughts of darkness and those temptations were replaced with great and holy thoughts. And this has happened to me in a moment. This sudden change has taken place in my life, he says. I can't even count the times this has happened to me. This completely is beyond that which is natural and normal. The next page, the Tchias HaMesim, in my mind, this, in the way that I felt during these times, this was as great as the miracle that we're waiting for of Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead. That I, who felt completely lost, and my spirit was dead within me, that in a moment all came back to life in the most powerful way. And this feeling that I had, obviously, having spoken to others, is something which I share in common. I share in common with others who are seeking the love of God. And people like this who have experienced what I've experienced, they don't have to meditate, they don't have to sit and to study and to, they have to study anyway, they don't have to try to awaken within themselves emuna by, through meditation. Because that experience that they've had, where miraculously they felt this inner transformation, they have seen this ayin ba'ayin with their own eyes. Va'atem, he continues, and you, bonai ahuvai, my beloved children, re'isem begordel chulshas koichi. Now let me just bring it to your attention that Rabbi Arila lived in his entire adult life with terrible physical pain. Rabbi Arila regularly fasted from Shabbos till Shabbos, from Erev Shabbos. I mean, from Shabbos until Erev Shabbos, he would fast, and he had hardly anything to eat. And he lived a life of unbelievable deprivation. Now, how that fits into the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov, we'll have to talk about later on. And he lived in great physical pain. He was so skinny that the doctors were amazed. They couldn't understand how it was possible for him to continue living. So Rabbi Arila writes over here in his will, Ba'atem bonai ahuvai, my beloved children, re'isem begodol chulshas koichi. You have seen that despite my great weaknesses, how weak I am. Shazreini Hashem ledvarim lamalim yigedar ateva mamish. That Hashem has helped me to reach a level to be able to reveal certain things and to have koiches that were lamalim yigedar ateva that were completely beyond nature. Lo lefi ma'asai. And I'm not saying it's because of my good deeds. It's not because I was worthy. Ki bozu ibn nivza anoichi. Because I am disgusting and lowly. Vavanosai kisa roshi. And my sins completely cover my head. Ad she'ein b'mason, there isn't a part of me that's unblemished. Rak begard, so why have I been worthy to experience these completely unnatural feelings of attachment to Hashem and been able to reveal at the end of time such remarkable things? Rak begardul churban hakedusha b'avnesein harab. Because we're living at a time when holiness, we're living in a time where holiness has experienced terrible, terrible destruction. The Gardla Hayurida Vahastarishal Hador, we're living in a generation of unbelievable hestaponim of concealment, a generation that has undergone, that has experienced a terrible, terrible Yurida. Afilu im shofil v'nivza oisa nachas ruach l'Hashem, therefore, even of the most humble and the most disgusting of people, is able to bring a little nachas ruach to Hashem to try to be a better person, a better Jew. And he strengthens himself and he doesn't despair from all the difficulties and temptations. In other words, he keeps on trying. In our generation, such a person who continuously attempts to overcome these nisyonos and to turn to Hashem can experience unnatural siyata d'shmaya help from above. Kizachar chazdav and osu leveis Yisrael. Lochein, therefore, bonai ahuvai, my beloved children, chizkuv im tzulav avchem, strengthen your hearts. Be courageous. Ki od harbei v'harbei galim yavrul ha'olam, because many waves are still going to pass over this world. V'ashrei ha'machakev yagia, and fortunate are those who wait for Mashiach for the time of his arrival. Now listen to what he says now. U'tiyatzru lefneichem tamid. This is the last thing the Rabbi Arila left to his chassidim before he died. He says, I'm asking you to imagine before your eyes, always, ki'ilu ish cholash oimed lefneinechem. See before your eyes a weak person. He meant himself. U'mazkir eschem ala amuna v'havoyde. See my image in front of your eyes always, reminding you to have faith and to serve God. Oz eye ani gamke nechshav bebchinas chai, then I too will be considered alive. I will be alive. Ka'amar la'el, as I said before. Ba'agam mishi yizdabek aleichem lo rov lo yishom adibur mimeni, and even though there will be many people who will attach themselves to our chevra, to our chassidim, who have never seen me or have never heard my teachings, Yekabel is chaskus mi hasvarim. They will be able to be strengthened through my svarim. Ashezikani Hashem Lahaitzi, that Hashem has enabled me to publish Shahim Amleim Ischaskus Bez Hashem, that filled with words of chizik, of strengthening. The ikar and the main thing is Shiyahei Tomid Lifnei Nechem, that you should always have before your eyes Elo Hashnei Chiburim, these two things, these two works, Hatzavah, my will, V'Ha'igros, and my letters, the published letters of Rabbi Arla. Kruchim B'Yachad, may they be bound together. Sheshneim Hemes Chazkus Gorla Shinedaber V'Pratus L'Chavroseinu HaKadosha, because there's tremendous chizik that can be found that was directed specifically to our holy Chavra. V'Chizku V'Imtzu Banai, and be strengthened and be courageous, my children. Hagam Ki Tavo Be'eshu B'Mayim, even though you're going to have to pass through fire and water. And you're going to have to be tested in many, many different ways. Don't, God forbid, give up hope. Don't fall. And always be moist and nefesh for the service of God. And the ikar is to strengthen your faith in Him. That it's it's because of the great concealment that Hashem is hiding from the world at this time. He said, you should know that it's because we are now approaching the days of Mashiach, and these are the darkest days that there ever were. It's davke now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs your neshamas, that you have, that the souls of our generation alone have power to bring about redemption, to bring about the final tikkunim. Ki iav shalahem lehisakin b'shum oifim binyan acharak b'ischaskus emunah b'gadol hastar. Because this is the tikkun, the rectification that's required of the final generation, davke, to strengthen their emunah and to remain faithful despite the hastar, the concealment. And fortunate is the one who's able to pass through all of these tests and all the confusion. As it says in Yeshaya, that the one who remains in Sion and the one who's left in Yerushalayim at the end of time remain, meaning those who remain faithful and those who kept their emunah till the end of time, they will be declared the holiest of Jews. V'atam bonai ahuvai, and you, my beloved children, lo tiru v'lo tiru, so don't be afraid. Mishum pachet, from anything, u'mishum behola, v'shoyis v'shoyim kisovo, no matter what the rishoyim, no matter what the wicked come to frighten you with. He wasn't talking about guns and grenades. He was talking about all those things that society would offer at the end of time, to pull us away from holiness. And he says, don't be afraid from the Mishoyas Rishoyim Kisov. The word Shoa means the destructive energy and power of the Rishoyim at the end of time. Kiseidu ki ha'odam ofra v'efer. You should know that man is dirt and is dust and ashes. B'chayev efer, in his life he's ashes. B'maisei ofra, in the death he is transformed into dirt. V'lai nivra l'tzarech atzm yusuf klal. Man was not created for his own purposes. Rakla of the Lashomer, he was created in order to serve and to protect in the Garden of Eden in this world. Eila mitzvah say, or mitzvah loy say, to observe the positive commandments and the negative commandments. Limso nafshal of kvod kedusha shmoyisbar, and to sacrifice his life for the sake of the honor of Hashem's holy name. Kibishaz brias oilam, at the time that the world was created, kvar nigzer al kol nefesh misrael, it was declared, it was decreed upon every Jew who would ever live, eich yechiyuso, how he would live, what his parnasa would be. You have to remember that the most horrible nisyonis in the physical world of the generation whom he was speaking to in nisyonis and parnasa, Rabbi Arla's chassidim were the poorest Jews in the world. They were mamish, the poorest people in the world. And he said that you should know the time of Bereishis, it was established, the chiyus, what you're going to have in this world. But be'ezah oifin yem yisoso, how you're going to live and how you're going to die. It says in Chazal that Hashem showed other Marishan each generation Vidorshav. Now Vidorshav, how do you translate, how would you say in English Vidorshav? Dor Vidorshav, usually it's translated as the leaders of the generation, the spokesman. of the generation. But Rabbi Arula interprets it in a new way. The Hainu Shekadosh Baruch Hu Herlo Kol Dor Bechlolus Behavor Be'alma. That Hashem, listen how beautiful, that Hashem showed Adam HaRishon the first man. He showed him very quickly. Very quickly he showed him, he scanned over all the generations and he showed them the people, the Jews that would be living throughout all the generations. The Herlo Befratus Darsha. But then Hashem would pause in each generation. In other words, it was generally the film was on fast forward. But then Hashem would press the pause button and say, look over here, Adam HaRishon, come over here. This is one of the Darshan. What does it mean to be Darish? This is one of those who was seeking me. Dor Dor V'Darsha, if he interprets, means he showed me quickly all the generations, but then he showed Adam HaRishon those individuals in every generation who, despite all, continue to be Darish me. They're looking for me. The Jews who are looking for me. The Amalek, and he said to Adam HaRishon, Tira Elu Yibador Hazem Idarisha Hashem, take a look. Halavai, we should be amongst those. Halavai, we should, that all of us should have been in that original film that was shown to Adam HaRishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, look Adam, look at these, see these faces. These are the people thousands of years from now who are still Darish me, who haven't forgotten me, who are seeking me. V'lachain Parad Dor V'Darisha Vdavki, V'heroloi Shol HaMela. The herald of Shaul HaMelech Nisosa. And he... Unless you... The herald of Shaul HaMelech Nisosa. And he showed him... He gives an example. He shows him Shaul HaMelech. One of the most difficult people to understand in Tanakh. Tzaddikim to understand Shaul HaMelech. So he showed him Shaul HaMelech. And how he died. How Shaul HaMelech died. Which you all know how he died. So you know that Adam HaRishon was bothered that the first king of the Jewish people would die in such a way, and Hashem showed him this is the way he must die. That the, when he threw himself upon the sword not to be taken by the enemies, that he shouldn't become a mockery. We know that Shaul HaMelech asked Shmuel the Navi, is there anything that I could do to escape? Is there anything I could do to hide? So Shmuel told him, he said, you can hide. Shmuel said, there's a way that you could avoid it. There's a way that you could hide. But if you accept upon yourself, now we're not going to discuss the halachic ramifications of this. That's not for now. But he says, if you accept upon yourself the judgment from above, Shmuel told this to him, of course, after he had died, and the Maisa there with the witch. And Shmuel told him that you should know that if you will allow yourself to die, to accept Din Shamayim, that you will be together with me b'mechitzasi in my place in the world to come. Shehu Shmuel HaNovi Sheshokol K'moshe V'Aaron, the next page, Pei Aleph. And Shmuel HaNovi, as you know, was compared to Moshe and Aaron. Vayidei shekibel al atzmo shol malkeinu din shemayim zoch lemayla zu. In other words, Shaul HaMelech, Rav Arla, why Davke brought this about Shaul HaMelech, I don't know. But Shaul HaMelech, he says, is one of those Darshei Hashem who was seeking closeness to God, and it meant more to him than anything, meant more to him than life. And he was zoche to reach the highest madrega. L'chein ashrei misha makabel al atzma din shemayim v'yahavu b'simcha. Therefore, fortunate is the one who accepts din shemayim, who accepts his lot in this world, v'yahavu with love, b'simcha and joy. Oz nis'alu nishmosu lein chekev, because his soul is lifted up to the highest place. L'chein banaya huvai, therefore my beloved children, chizku v'imsu levavchem, strengthen your hearts. V'tichazku ish re'ehu tomid, and strengthen each other always. Be'muna Nemuna b'simcha shmo yisbaruch, and rejoicing in Hashem, b'ahava with love, b'yigiyah b'mesiris nefesh, with mesiris nefesh, karshe limadati eschem, as I taught you. V'loy ta'aminu leguf ha'okor, do not believe what I've taught you, believe your neshamas, and do not believe the coarse body, habozi, the disgraceful physical encasement that holds your neshamas, amara ayifus, which shows you, your body only shows you to be tired, to have no strength, to kvedus and laziness. Va'achoke, v'shiflus, v'atzvus, all your body is telling you to feel, your body is trying to tell you to be always sad and lazy and so on. Don't believe what your body is telling you. Don't believe what your body is telling you. Now here comes my Yiddish, you'll excuse me. That's not my my mother tongue. Hungarian is. But he was also Hungarian, but he doesn't write in Hungarian. He says, No, gelep kindelach besimcha, to live, my children. He says, kindelach, to live besimcha, mesiris nefesh, vis de lester rega mamish, to the last moment, mamish, the last moment of your life, to live besimcha. Nish lozen zich has a sholem, from them Rosh Hashanah, the Yetzer, not to pay attention, not to follow, not to go after, God forbid, the Yetzer, who he calls the Rosh, the wicked one, the Yetzer. And this shreken zich, see that, because in order to understand, to appreciate Rav Arel, you have to realize that he saw his entire purpose, his mission in this world, to be machazik, the Jewish people, to give chizik, the strength. And particularly in tefillah and davening, which we'll talk about a great deal, emunah, in tefillah, in saying brachas properly, in avodah pshuta, in serving God in a simple way, with emunah pshuta. And people, the tzaddikim who saw him in this world, in this century, tzaddikim saw him, like the Chazon Ish said, that if they tried to imagine just the edge of the robe of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, of what it must have been like to be near the Baal Shem Tov, the one example that they gave was Rav Arel. Rav Arel was such a person, as I mentioned before, from the Chazon Ish, and we saw from the Be'al HaRevi. So now, I want to begin to speak about his life, so we can relax a little bit. And I always apologize before, because it's a little bit, you know, I'm not a history teacher. And this isn't history. Even the Toldos of Tzaddikim, the stories of the lives of Tzaddikim is Mamish Torah. And it's hard Torah. But it's important that we spend at least two times talking about Rav Arel's life, and then we're going to Mitzvah Shem study the introduction that we saw, that we mentioned before, that almost converted the Chazon Ish into a Chassid. So we should certainly have no difficulty. And we'll read a little bit from the introduction, and then from some other places in his famous Svarim, the Shem Emunim, and the Taras HaKadosh, Shulchan HaTohar, his entire Sefer on eating, how a Jew should eat. A whole Sefer on how a Jew should eat. Shulchan HaTohar, just on eating. I mean, there are other things in there, too. It's all about the avoid, it's leading up to how a person should sit. You should think about when you're at the table. What you should think about when you're eating. So let's talk about his life. Rav Arel was born in 1894. In the city, he was born in the city which is my father's birthplace, Ungvar. Ungvar was a city in the Carpathian Mountains. At the time that Rav Arel was born there, it was part of Austria-Hungary. Later on, it would be Czechoslovakia. After World War I, it became Czechoslovakia. And now it's part of now it's in the Ukraine. It was part of the Soviet Union. And the same way that his entire life was a pella, was a wonder, so too, the story of his birth. Now here, fortunately, since it wasn't such a long time ago, we have from his own mishpacha, Rav Arel himself rarely spoke about himself. We'll have a few things that he did say towards the end of his life, but we have from his sister and from his brother, from those who knew him when he was a child, because there were people that were living until recently. They might even still be in the world. I mean, there most definitely are Jews in the world that saw Rav Arel and have stories to tell about him. So his birth was also very interesting. His father's name was Rav Shmuel Yaakov, who was not considered a Talmud Chacham, but he was an extremely, extremely erlich, he had a God-fearing Jew. Rav Arel used to tell that he recalled that growing up, that every night, the way that his father would cry at midnight by Tikkun Chatzos, he said that he would cry in such a way that nobody in the mishpacha could go to sleep. It was such the crying of his father, Shmuel Yaakov, who again was not considered a Talmud Chacham, was a hard-working Jew. He was a soicher, he was a businessman. And his mother's name was Yente. Now we'll see that in the story of his life, he considered his mother to have the greatest impact upon him. And she was a very, very famous tzaddikus. She was well known for her davening and for her chesed that she did for others. Now, for many years, his parents, Reb Shmuel Yaakov and Yenta, were not able to have children. And it happened that there was a certain tzaddik that came at that time to live in Ungvar by the name of Reb Dovidel Feiglis. And this tzaddik came to live there, and Reb Arla's mother, Yenta, she took it upon herself to cook for this tzaddik, and she would also go into the tzaddik's, he lived in some tiny little place, she would cook for him, and she would clean, and she would take care of this tzaddik, and he promised her, the story that she said was that he promised her that she would have a son who would be Sheyoyer's Ein Yisrael, that would illuminate the eyes of the Jewish people. And the main thing was the Ikar from the Torah of a year, and that he would bring Jews back to Hashem. And this is something that was extraordinary about Rabbi Arl that we'll talk about later on. That there are thousands of Jews who, having heard Rabbi Arl once, David, but having met him for 30 seconds, became complete Balei Tshuva. Complete Balei Tshuva. So the bracha that his mother received was that you're going to have a child who's going to be Makarav Yidden, who's going to bring Jews back to Hashem. She also had the exact same bracha, we're told, she received from the great tzaddik of Shlomo Lev Munkach, who told her also, not only that you'll have a child that will be great in Torah and in Yiras Shamayim, but a child that will be Makarav, the Jewish people, that will bring the Jews back to God. Now, it happened. The mother told a story that before the time that she became pregnant, there was a maisa that happened, that there was a fire in their house, and there was a fire, they had the warehouse that they owned was attached to the house, and the whole thing had burned down. And she said that in those days, she was very Torah, they had lost all their money, and they had lost all their belongings. And she said, the mother told, the tzaddikus told, that she one time fell asleep, and she had a dream that she was in Gan Eden, that she was walking Gan Eden with her sister. Her sister at that time was no longer alive. And she saw three beautiful roses. Marisienta, the Reb Arla's mother, said that she saw in her dream, when she was walking with her sister, she saw in Gan Eden three beautiful roses that were growing towards her. And her sister, in the dream, screamed out to her, "Quickly grab those because they belong to you." And she said that when she woke up, that she understood from the dream that she was going to have three children who were going to be tzaddikim from that dream. And they were. Rabbi Arla was the oldest. And then there was also, he had a brother of Mendel, who was a great tzaddik, and also a sister by the name of Sarah. Now, besides his birth, it's interesting also I just wanted to tell you also the way that Reb Arla got his name, Aaron, where the name Aaron came from. It wasn't anybody from Mishpacha. I saw it brought down in the Sefer that before his birth, when the mother was expecting him, then a certain tzaddik, Nister, a hidden tzaddik, came to the city of Ungvar from Russia, and his name was Rabbi Aaron. And people thought that he was a meshuganer, that he was some sort of a vagabond, a wanderer. And the tzaddikus, Rabbi Arla's mother, saw him to be a person who was a big Baal Madrega. She recognized him as a hidden tzaddik, and she invited him to stay there in their home. And then he was there only for a short time, this tzaddik, Rabbi Aaron, who nobody knew anything about, this person from Russia, and he passed away. And the night that he passed away, so he came in a dream to Rabbi Arla's mother and said to her, "You're going to have a son who's going to bring holiness and chassidus into the world, and he's going to draw many v'yoshiv rabim b'tshuva. He's going to help many Jews to repent. And I'm asking you that you should call him by my name, and it will be good for him, and it will be good for the whole world. And she remembered that dream very clearly, and that's why the child was named Aaron. And afterwards, we know that there was a time when he was a when Rabbi Arla was a baby, that he was deathly ill, and the doctors had given up hope. And she had another dream. His mother had another dream, and the tzaddik of Aaron appeared in the dream. And he said that he had a certain shemen, a certain oil that was taken from Gan Eden, from paradise. And in her dream, she saw Rav Aaron reach down and to take some of this oil and to smear it onto the forehead of the baby. And then immediately after that, Rav Arla was cured. Now, even as a child, and here again, this is not like a typical story of, there are many things that are different about Rav Arla, and you have to keep in mind that we're talking about the 20th century. So even as a child, the family told us from the time that he was already beginning to talk and to walk, he no longer was interested in playing with other children. He never ever played with toys. The family said he never played with toys and never played with children, even as a tiny little child. He refused. He never played with any toys. He used to go all the time and to sit by the tables of tzaddikim and to go, even, they say, even before he was able to walk, he would crawl and always stay dafka place where they were learning Torah. And By the time he was three years old, he was rogil, he was in the habit of trying to say he would finish the entire book of Tehillim every day. The entire book of Tehillim every day. Except for maybe Shabbos, but it says that kimat v'chol yom, he would finish the entire book of Tehillim to the time that he was 3 years old. And his family would tell that besides this amazing level of spirituality from the time that he was a child, he was also from the time that he was very, very young, a person that was extremely sensitive. And they recall that as a child, even as a small child, when he would go through the marketplace, he would have rachmanis. Whenever he would pass through, it was a hot day, he would stop off, he would always take a cup of water and go to all the chickens. And they said he would give to all the chickens a little bit to drink and to put a little bit of water on the chickens. And to give them something to eat, that they said that he had mamash rachma v'al kol masa, that he couldn't bear to see anything, any creature in the world in suffering. That's from the time that he was a small child. He said when he was older that the book that was makarv, that brought us closest to Hashem, the sefer that drew him closest to God, from the time that he was already a young boy, he said that he studied the entire Tanya and he knew it by heart from the time that he was a child. The Tanya, written by Rav Shnei Zalmanis, you know, from the Adi, the Baal Tanya. And from the time that he was a boy, he became an astounding masmid in Gemara Rashi Tosis, in learning, and he was blessed with a remarkable memory and all the kishrinus. He was a brilliant, brilliant boy. When he was 7 years old, Rav Arla said about himself that from the time that he was seven, he began to daven with Mesiris Nefesh. He began to daven with all of his heart from the time that he was 7 years old. And he said that from that time on, from the time that he was seven, he saw that davening is the yesod shelo l'chol avodas hakodesh. That davening was the inner point of all of his entire life. And that davening was what he was brought into the world to fix. And that he felt clearly from the time that he was seven. In Ungvar at that time, there was a group of Chassidim from Zidichov, Chassidim, and he attached himself to these Chassidim from Zidichov, and they used to travel to the Rebbe, Rabbi Yehoshef Rotenberg, who was the Rebbe from the Kosani, the Tzaddik from Kosani, and they used to travel there, and they took him, even though these were all big Bali Avoid, these were all adults, they took him as a child, he was given permission to go, and to the Tzaddik, and that Tzaddik showed him tremendous amount of respect and would put him as a child next to him by the table, even though there were some of the biggest Talmid Chacham in Hungary at that time was sitting there. Rav Arla as a child was placed next to the Rebbe, would sit next to the Tzaddik. He once said the following, Ki Hashem nosen b'libi oiv b'aldusi l'eschazik b'avoydes Hashem b'tfila, that Hashem gave this feeling into my heart from the time that I was a child to strengthen myself in davening, b'tomid hoya eish otzer b'atzmoisei, and I felt there was like a fire burning inside of me, legalis avodas hatfila, to reveal to the world the avodas hatfila. Ki noided ha'isi ba'olam ba'isi she'inyin gadov et noiru huzeh, asher kol ha'olam es v'chol tikkuni ha'nefashas tuyim huzeh. He says, because I was wandering throughout the world and I began to realize from the time that I was a child that all of the worlds and all of the tikkunim of all the nefashas, that all worlds and all of the souls depend more than anything upon this, upon davening tefillah. His sister told him, Isa, that happened that one time the mishpacha went to a wedding, and he was a child, and Rav Arila said that he was very tired, and he asked permission if he could leave the wedding to go home to go to sleep. He went back, and the family stayed much later at the chasna, and when they came back much later, and they went to sleep, so his father, Rav Shmuel Yaakov, heard some knocking on the door. And he heard somebody calling out, "Get up, Shmuel Yaakov, get up." And he went over to the door and he opened the door and there was nobody standing there. And once again, Rav Shmuel Yaakov went back to sleep and he tried to go to sleep and he heard banging on the door and someone screaming, "No, Shmuel Yaakov!" And he went running over there. And by the third time that this happened, he noticed that coming from the room of Rav Arila, that there was some light coming from under the door. And he opened up the door, and it seems that what happened was that Rav Arila went back. He wanted to study Torah. He wanted to study. That's why he went back. And it seems that he had taken a blanket, and he didn't want people to see that there was a light shining from the house. And he didn't want anybody to think anything. And he put a blanket over him, and he was studying with a candle under a blanket and trying to learn. But apparently, he was a child. He had fallen asleep, and the blanket went onto the candle and had caught fire. And they went running. That's not the fire that burned down the house, but the fire that the father Reb Shmuel Yaakov started to scream, and Reb Aaron understood that, and the mother used to say that the Minashamayim, that Elyonovi was sent Minashamayim to save Reb Arla. They didn't see themselves as worthy. They saw that it was for the sake of Reb Arla, because there was nobody at the door and somebody was just screaming Reb Shmuel Yaakov to get up. When he was 16 years old, he went to the city of Vitzen, which is near Budapest, and there was the great guy and the great genius from the Gedolei Hador, Reb Shaya Zilberstein, the author of Ma'aseh HaMelech. And this tzaddik was Makarev Reb Arla, and Reb Arla to the end of his life was Makir Toiv, Reb Shaya Zilberstein, he considered to be one of his rabbis, and he would mention always that this tzaddik of Yeshaya was especially great besides in Torah and Shmira Seinayim. He said that he never ever saw the tzaddik lift his eyes up from the ground, that he mamish went all the time with his eyes focused on holiness, and his avodah was with tremendous, tremendous hislavas. It was at that time, this is what we're going to continue with him at Shem in 2 weeks, not next week, the Simcha, but this is when he began, while he was over there near Budapest, he began to formulate the idea with the permission of his Rebbe to form a small group of young Hasidim. This is when he was 16 years old, whom he was daven with and show the Derech HaVayda with. And this is something that later on would form into the groups of Rav Arla Hasidim throughout Hungary and then later on in Eretz Yisrael. So Mitzvah Shem will continue 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight. Does anybody think? Baruch Hashem. Right.